So we talked about not long ago that you can't say amen to your own brachot. So I wanted to teach you all about brachot today, maybe in short, maybe we'll do a quiz. So I learned a couple of interesting things today about amen in preparation for talking to you. The most unusual and counterintuitive to me is that a non-Jew can say amen to a Jew's blessing. Not only that, but a non-Jew can say amen to blessings that say, God commanded us to perform mitzvot. God chose us and selected us to perform mitzvot, because amen is a way of offering assent. And even a non-Jew can say, yes, that's true. You as a Jew are commanded to perform mitzvot and to be chosen to be an ole to the Torah. So amen, according to some etymologies, I think this is a folk etymology, is the same, comes from the root of El Melech Neman, Aleph Mem Nun. So in some traditions, you're supposed to say amen as slowly as you might say, to fill the same amount of time as the phrase El Melech Neman, God who is king, ruler, faithfully, the faithful ruler. So amen also, we believe, comes from the root of emunah, faith. So conclusively, I think one can say that it's about offering your assent and agreement to whatever the blessor says. That's not what I was planning to talk about mostly today, but I just thought it was sort of an interesting sidelight that I learned about as we were as I was preparing to teach you about other things. So there are three particular types of bracha. Brachot is the plural. So there's brachot nehanim, nehanin, Aramaic, or our sages used nun often as a plural ending. Blessings for enjoyment. So things we say over fruit, things we say over foods, mostly foods, I think. Smelling fragrances is another one. So those all have the simple formula, which I'll get to the formulas. That's mostly what I want to spend time on, is the formulas for brachot. So those almost always have the simple formula, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen. So it's, blessed are you, master or ruler of the universe. Blessed are you, our God, master and ruler of the universe. A participle form, creator of the vine, creator of the fruits of the vine, the maker of blank. What we often think about as the present tense in modern Hebrew was in classical Hebrew and the rabbinic Hebrew, more of a participle, which still works the same way. So to say that Martha is teacher of small children is really the same thing as she's saying she teaches small children. It just is more of an identification of you as a person. So that's one sort of bracha, the blessings for things we enjoy. There's brachot hamitzvot, so blessings over mitzvot, which we'd know, talit, tefillin, anything that has asher kidshanu mitzvotav. Those are the classic blessings for mitzvot. And then there are blessings of praise, brachot, shevach, v'hoda'ah. So I don't think it's in Et Ratzon, but if you'd grab a Sim Shalom, and I don't think Sim Shalom has the greatest collection of them, but in Orthodox prayer books, they have really beautiful collections of all the different brachot, and I'll never be able to find it in a decent amount of time. But if anyone unearths it, because I can never remember how this prayer book is organized. Oh, I think it's, oh, wow, that was quick. I got it. I did get it. So 708, these are mostly brachot, shevach v'hoda'ah. So things like when you see a rainbow, which is a beautiful blessing that says, you know, you fulfill your covenant with Noah effectively. That's at the bottom of 709 in your Sidur Sim Shalom. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Zocher HaBrit V'Neman B'Vrito V'Kayam B'Mamaro. Zocher HaBrit, God remembers the covenant, this being the covenant with Noach, Ne'am Devrito, and is faithful to his God's covenant, Ve'kayam B'Mamaro, and upholds God's speech. So God says to Noach, there'll never be another flood. The rainbow is a sign of that covenant. So every time we see the rainbow, we notice that. I don't recall what's in here, but there are ones you see when you see beautiful people, ones you see when you see homely people. The homely people is a great one. It says, who makes everyone different, which I think is very polite. There are blessings you say when you see 600 or more Jews together, 600,000 Jews together. Well, it happens. Avadia Yosef's funeral, I think, brought out 800,000. So brought out like a significant percentage of the state of Israel to his funeral. So I want to stress everything I'm going to tell you today is sort of post facto. I don't know at what point our sages would have used this language, and most of the language I might be using for you today, I would guess, is more academic than rabbinic, although probably a little of both. Just like music theory and Bach, Bach didn't write to music theory, he wrote to his ear, or the ears of his time, and later theoreticians, is that a word? Anyone? Theoreticians? Tried to ascertain the rules. Arabic isn't written to grammar. Germans in the 19th century looked at Arabic and tried to discern patterns. So I don't think, you know, you shouldn't, I would not assume that anything in our tradition falls neatly into categories. Certainly the halakha is very varied and I don't see patterns in it easily. I have friends who do. So what I want to talk to you about is more the syntax of blessing and how it's structured typically, which isn't necessarily going to bring more meaning to the text for you. You really need to do that. You need to translate and imbibe the meaning of the words themselves, but it will at least help you start to see structures and sort of outline the prayer, so to speak. So there's the short formula blessing, the Mapeh Katsar, which is really the six words, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. I'm using Hashem instead of Adonai and Elokeinu instead of Eloheinu because I'm not going to say the full blessing nor complete it. And then, again, the participle or Vitzivanu, those are like the immediate form, Matbea Katsar, the fixed form, the small form. And those are, again, the shortest of blessings. All of Birchot HaShachar falls into that, I think. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Honotein Le'ev Koach, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Malbish Arumim, for those of you who show up at 9:30. There's a few of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I think. But 7 o'clock, right. Those are all Matbea Katsar. Those are
earlier.
Yeah, I know. That way you can get it. You're like done with shul at like 10:30. It's kind of nice. Except for the other end. So. And then there's the Matbea Aroch. The Matbea is a fixed liturgy, really. Fixed is what Matbea is, just fixed, right? So it, meaning a liturgy that is long. So that begins, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, so-and-so, and then ends with Baruch Atah Adonai, so-and-so. So the easiest example I can think of for you is Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Velohei Avoteinu. That's the opening formula. And there's Baruch Atah Adonai Magen Avraham Ufked Sarah. That's the closing formula. So you notice that the closing formula does not have Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, it just says Baruch Atah Hashem. So that's called the Matbea Aroch, and that's like paragraphs. And I think, actually, I should look at this one up. So I think the easiest way to differentiate those, if you look on page 13 of Sidur Et Ratzon, or 10 of Sidur Sim Shalom. Yeah, it's perfect. So in Birchot HaShachar, most of those are Matbea Katsar, the smaller liturgy, the short fixed form. And the paragraph, this is still, you may or may not know this, but after Hanatein Le'av Koach, it's still part of Birchot HaShachar. This Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hamavir Sheiname Nai Utnuma Me'afafai, and so on and so on. And ending, Baruch Atah Adonai Gomel Chasadim Tovim La'amo Yisrael. That's a long form blessing. And how our sages decided when and where the layout goes, to me feels more musical than anything else, or sort of more poetic than anything else. But the other interesting form that's going to throw you off, and then we'll play a little game with this, depending on our time, is what they call, it took me the longest time to remember what this was called, bracha smucha lechaverta. So a blessing that leans upon or relies upon its fellow. It's a blessing with no opening that just launches into a series of words. So an easy example would be Ahava Rabba. Ahava Rabba Tanu. No Baruch at the beginning. It does, and I think this is consistent, it does have the short form blessing at the end. It always ends with a short form blessing. Does anyone need some time to catch up or want to ask questions? I don't want to throw too much at you. So that if you look at the morning service, I open to the weekday service, but it's no less true of the Shabbat service. So you've got three blessings that sandwich that make the club sandwich of the Kriyat Shema. I'll explain that a little, but it's not worth going into too much. The first is starts Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzer Or Vorei Choshech Oseh Shalom Vorei Et Hakol. That's a long form blessing. Let's call it the long form blessing. It's the Matbea Katsar. It's the long form of the short form blessings. I don't know. That's a little confusing. And that first opening blessing ends Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Hameorot. So it only has the three word liturgy. The three-word formula. Starts with the six-word formula, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and ends with the three-word formula, Baruch Atah Hashem, Yotzer Merot. The next one has no opening formula because it is reliant on what came before it, and it is Baruch Atah Hashem, HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael, Bava. What's interesting in this, so you go to the end of the Kriyat Shema, Adonai Elohechem, Emet. Next words are? No blessing thereafter, although it is its own blessing. The blessings of the morning liturgy between Baruch Hu and Amidah are creation, revelation, and redemption, which is a standard kind of thematic formula for most of our sages' writing. It's really a theological premise. God creates, God reveals wisdom to us, God redeems us in the end. And redemption being the paradigm of creation is either the morning, the sun coming up in the morning, the night, the light going down in the evening. That's the creation paradigm. The revelation paradigm is God loves us and gives us Torah, meaning God reveals Torah to us as an act of grace. And then the redemption paradigm is almost always connected to Egypt.
And the creation is not considered an act of grace, or it is?
I don't want to go. That's a great question, but that's today too far afield. I'd have to think about that. I mean, of course, everything is an act of grace. Yeah, all of those are an act of grace. Yes, you're absolutely right. Hold on. I want to make one more point. So there are three. So our sages blend their words, contrary to what I said about the Torah. They consistently blend their words with words of Torah and Tanakh, right? So you have the opening blessing of Yotzer Or. The second blessing, which relies upon that blessing as Ahava Rabbah, HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael B'Ahava. Then you have the three paragraphs of the Shema, which come from Deuteronomy and Numbers. And then, as if they weren't there at all, you go right to another blessing, leaning on what came before the actual paragraphs of the Shema. Too confusing? Okay. I never know. You always try to say things in the most clear and educational, distilled sense possible, but I have a tendency to leave words out. So, and then where you see a lot, almost exclusively leaning blessings, is in the Amidah, right? So I'm going to go with the weekday Amidah, page 106 in Sidur Shim Shalom, just because it shows you more examples. So of course you have, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Velohei Avotei. That doesn't say Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. I don't know why. That's so weird. Maybe that's an exception that proves the rule. Oof, that's a bad example. But it is a complete blessing in that it starts and ends with blessing phrases. And then everything else in the Amidah leans upon it because it has no opening. It just ends with Baruch Atah Adonai, Gol Yisrael, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. And then, and they all lean after that. So let's do a little quiz. We'll do it quick because we have a chance to end early, so let's take that chance. I don't need to talk too much longer. But you can do this again at Birkat HaMazon. That's a good place to think about it because how the liturgy functions syntactically and structurally. Okay. This will work, I think, equally well from the Hebrew or the English. Hebrew on one side, English on the other. These are the seven blessings at a wedding. So remember, there's short form, there's long form, short form being just Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and some participle. There's long form, which is Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, intervening section, sort of descriptive, and then returning to the themes of the blessing, Baruch Atah Hashem, blank. And then there are leaning forms. So let's look at the seven blessings of the wedding and see if you can guess which is which. The first one is Baruchat Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen. That's the short form. That's the concise. Let's call it concise form. Concise. And if you want to, I'll tell you the Hebrew name each time, but it's Matbea Katsar. But a concise is a nicer word for it. Okay. It is also a blessing of enjoyment, because your blessings over food are always brachot nehanin. Okay. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam shakol bara lichvodo. Hey, this side of this house is winning. Come on. Okay. Number three. Good. Okay, number four. Now Rebbe Tal has to stay out because she's a Hebrew school teacher. That's not fair. She's an advanced degree. Someone without an advanced degree. Number four. Yeah, you can sort of go with that. If it looks longer and it starts with the word Baruch, if it starts with the word Baruch, that's good. Actually, if it looks too long.
Then finish with the blessing also. Yeah. Beginning and end.
Right, so that means it's the long form with both the blessing at the beginning and end. Okay, number five. Looks long, not well, it might be short. Does not start with Baruch, so what is it? Leaning. Smucha, is that leaning? It's not, it's really reliant. Okay, reliant upon. Okay, and then six. Yeah, it's no opening blessing formula, closes with the short blessing formula, Baruch Atah Hashem, but not Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Okay, now seven. Yeah, it's total full form. What I couldn't possibly tell you is why. Like, what's the deal with this? No, these are what's really wonderful about the Sheva Brachot is the fact that they themselves, except for I think only one or two of the Brachot have anything to do with weddings. Like, you can do a whole Dvar Torah or Dvar Tefillah about what were the sages thinking when they wrote these. Because they're about, creation and, I mean, you have to say the fruit of the vine because you're going to drink at the end of them. Creating man and woman, a longer blessing about creating man and woman, a blessing about people returning to Zion, two blessings about bride and groom. For the sake of time, I don't want to go into that now, but it's a great thought piece or a thought experiment. Like, what is intended by the seven blessings? Next time you go to a wedding, give it some thought, because I think it's quite beautiful because it's very counterintuitive. There's no like, ooh, thank God you made weddings and marital intimacy and homes together. Like, it's not about the things that are going to be received. But that's a good story for another day. Any questions, and then we'll go back to our worship.
Yeah, so last night's service, is it a vote? Is that a long?
Isn't it the regular vote? You're talking about Magena vote? Or
yeah,
you
314 in Sim Shalom.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, 314 in Sim Shalom. I have to look at it. And, you know, there's got to be some that don't fit at all, right? And I think, I can't remember if a leaning blessing can only lean on a full blessing. I forget that piece. So you're talking about 315, 314. Really, the first paragraph is just a quote. It's just a citation. It's at the end of the creation story. So you're only looking at the three lower paragraphs on 314. Who wants to do it? Who wants to tell me what they are? Oh, it doesn't fit really well. No, it doesn't fit. Well, that's probably, yeah, that sounds about right, actually. Yeah, I think that's really just one long blessing. That's probably the easiest explanation. I'll think about it, but I bet that is really, it just happens to be broken in paragraphs for, printing. But again, like, whenever we talk about, language, people speak a language, language isn't what people speak, or is it the other way? People don't speak language, language is what people speak, right? Like, These rules come way after the fact. And likewise in language, when we say, you know, there's an exception to the conjugation of the verb. Do you know exceptional? I'm trying to think of a French exception. Pedir in Spanish. It's not an exception. It's just human voices and ears wanted it to sound a certain way. So I don't know if that's an exception or just they like the way that sounded or... Yeah. So does halakha. I mean, yeah, that's the problem with halakha. That's why halakha is hard to, you really have to memorize a lot of detail rather than look for patterns. Because it's more, I would think it's more exception than rule.